But today I want to talk about you. You know, I've struggled with this particular message today for a number of reasons. First of all, what did the Lord want to say to you? That was the most important thing. I've been trying to get a series started now in 1 Corinthians. We're going to do that. We've done a couple of messages already, but I'm going back to that and kind of like a restart. And what God wanted to talk to you about today is you. So you have received a great report. That's the title of the message. You have received a great report. You have? Yes, you have. I opened this letter to Corinthians, and I kind of look at these things. When I open that book, I look at it and say, well, this is for me. But when I got into the letter, I began to see that all your names were listed in there. Every single one of you. Many of you are in the assembly today. Others around, just all through the whole earth are in there. But you guys in particular is what I was concerned with. So this letter that I read is from a very prestigious and most credible source. And he spoke very highly of you. In fact, I shouldn't say I'm amazed because I'm amazed by you anyway, by people, and particularly you guys at Empress Christian Church. And he spoke as one who had intimate knowledge of you, of your person, and of your potential. And it turned out that he was speaking on behalf of his supervisor. I was not aware of your credentials. I didn't realize how much you had earned and were blessed with and gifted with. And I didn't even know that you were looking for a new job or line of work, but it looks like he's made an offer to you. And he's extended that offer to you. And if you haven't seen it in your email, check your hardware. And take a close look at it and see if you can find that offer from him in there. Now, the HR guy who wrote this letter himself is pretty well known. He goes by the name Paul of Tarsus. That's what he does. And I estimate that his reputation is known by half of the world population today. And he, again, is known by the past population for almost 2,000 years. Wow, if this guy had a friend list, it's got to be awesome. But a lot of them are dead. But can you imagine that? Well, very well known. So in the aforementioned letter that I read, and at first I was sorry about reading your mail, but like I said, I realized it was our mail. It wasn't just my mail, it was your mail too. Paul was kind of like just bursting at the seams. He could hardly even get started. He got to the first sentence and he just jumped in his greeting with his joy and how he was overflowing about who you were. He was busting at the seams. He began talking about your natural gifts and your qualifications in the second sentence of that letter. And there he stated that you were seen as one of the most qualified, gifted people in the human race. And he, the maker and the ruler of all things, had set you apart to him. But not only set you apart to him, that you belong to him, and he called you a saint. Can you imagine that? He called you a saint, which means a true believer. And he was counting on you to be faithful to him. And that's what he was asking, most powerful, excellent kingdom that is and ever will be. Can you imagine that? This is how he viewed you. And I was excited about that because, you see, I've been thinking about people lately, and I found out that as I'm seeing what God is doing, That you are the top priority. You always have been. And I don't necessarily understand all of that because, well, let's just say this. God sees in you much of what you don't see in yourself. He knows what he has given you. He knows what you can do through him. and what he can do through you. And that's amazing when you look at it. For example, he says that all of you who call upon his name in every place, that you're part of his team, part of his family. And the gifting that you had qualifies you for all that I just said, for whatever he wants you to do. And I know you're sitting there saying, well, I don't see it. Some of you are sitting there. I don't see that I have all of these things. Well, let's take a look at what he said, a couple of things about you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God always. We'll start with verse 2. To the church of God, the church is the people. Just remember that. The church is not a building. It's not a denomination. It's not an organization. It's the people of God. Now, it is manifested first and foremost, local and visible. And somehow some of these things are changing a little bit. It's kind of crazy, but we're figuring that one out. But that's what it is. So he says to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified. What does that mean? It means that you've been set apart. Well, in Christ Jesus. And that you're saints by calling. And that you have a whole group of people that you don't even know that are just like you with different gifts and different talents. And I want you to know this. No one is exactly like you. You are unique. I find in this world that that's an important thing to remember, because the problem with people, it seems that in trying to separate themselves out from others, we get into a lot of trouble. You know, it's easier to rise up by putting somebody else down than it is to rise up by being what God called you to be, and to let God work in you and let God shine through you. A lot easier to pass on things to other people and say, I can't do it, but somebody else will come along and do it. Well, they may, but they'll never do it like you do it. We'll find that out as we travel through this book together. But the church of God, again, is his people, and you are his people. Now, the gifting that you receive is going to qualify you, and I'm going to repeat this again, for whatever God has called you to. He has called you to a specific work. You are going to meet people. You're going to have children. You're going to have family. You're going to have people that other people never will have contact with or influence with. You are the only ones that God will put in their life. And you can make a difference in their life. But you have to believe that. You have to believe that God can bring you into a situation, and God can take you and change hearts and people around you. You need to believe that when you pray to God, that God not only hears you, he actually listens. He can direct your prayers by his Spirit and change people and make them open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then spend eternity with them. Be better people here in this place. Just amazing. And then again, he says that when he called you and set you apart, he gave you an abundance of grace. What's that mean? Well, that means you have all of these things that you didn't earn or deserve, but it's being poured out on you. You see, the whole thing is to believe this. You know, I'm thinking about Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4 there, and particularly verse 2, where it talks about by faith we stand in this grace that we now have. In other words, the blood of Jesus, by grace through faith we were saved, but now for all that God's given us, we now stand in what? We believe God for what we don't deserve. I want you to say that with me if you can. I believe God for what I don't deserve. That's what grace is about. And this whole Christian walk that we have is not that I'm going to earn this. I'm going to make an effort to get close to God. I want to listen to God. I want to be obedient to God, and you should want to do the same. But the important thing is that what you're believing God for is what you didn't deserve. And that's all the blessings of Abraham, the covenant promises, the healing, the deliverance, the prosperity. Not that you make a big deal out of that. That's all found in the person of Christ. And when you're close to him, these things begin to just flow. I can't help but thank the Lord for the generosity that we have seen in this project. For example, God has blessed you. We're not a huge congregation. And we're not a huge congregation for a reason right now. And that is that we have to do some things that God's called us to do, not to become a huge congregation, but to become a very fruitful congregation. And yes, we will grow numerically. But as we grow spiritually, we'll be growing numerically. And look what Paul says in verse 4, 1 Corinthians. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you're not lacking in any gift. You're not lacking in any gift. Do you believe that? Interesting. So that you're not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this for a moment, what this is speaking about here. Some people would say, well, we're waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. We're waiting to see him. No, it doesn't say that here. It says that we are not lacking any, eagerly awaiting the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is that revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's many things, but it's the revelation that he gives us in giving us a word to speak, a prophecy, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a gift of healing. Whatever we need, God has given these gifts to us. He'll give them to us. But we're waiting on this. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit. See, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, the Lord is present. Now that you'll find in Philippians, very important scripture. I want you to understand that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, the Lord is. For example, Jesus lives inside of you. Do you believe that? Well, now, is the person of Jesus physically living inside of you? Of course not. But is Jesus living in you? Of course he is. How? By the Holy Spirit. Do I understand that? No. Do I believe that? Yes. Is it true? Yes. Have I experienced that? Yes. The Father's living in me. And the Spirit of God is living. God is living in me. He's living in you. And wherever that Holy Spirit is, so the Lord himself is present. He goes on to say here, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you're not lacking any gift, again, waiting the revelation of Christ. Christ in you. Christ speaking to your heart, speaking into your spirit. You operating in these different gifts. You out there in the mall, walking along in a mall, and you see a person sitting there, and all of a sudden you just sense that you need to pray for them. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. And you just walk over and you say, excuse me, but I just was passing you by, and I just had a sense that I was to come and pray for you. Is that okay? And they might say no, but I'll tell you what. Most likely they're going to say yes, because the Spirit of God will actually lead you in that manner. I see it just about, well, every day that I'm out with Derry, we see something like that. We have the opportunity to pray for people. We have people break down in tears. Why, are we special? No. We just are watching. We're just seeing. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's about who you are in Christ and what God's doing through you. Same with your children. You can look at your children. By the way, I love that baby crying in the church there. That was really cool. I like that. Love babies. That's great. We need more babies. We need more people, period. But babies are great. I love that. May God bless you as parents, and may he prosper you and give you wisdom. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Wisdom. What is it my baby's crying about? Maybe it's nothing. Maybe they just want attention. But maybe there's something else that I need to know. They can't communicate except by crying. But what about a little child? What's going on in their little hearts? Do you know? It's hard to say, but I can tell you right now, children are a lot deeper in their thinking than you could imagine. And God can help you find that bent in your child and raise them up. He can help you find your way to a boss. I can still remember, there's a couple of jobs that I took up. Somebody asked me the other day, these kids have my kids have me on this thing, the story. So they send me these emails, and then when they want me to fill in, you know, my life, what my life is about and about. And what was your favorite boss? Well, I had a number of them. I was blessed with some very, very good bosses in my life. And I always followed them. In other words, one of the things I learned from the beginning is a good employee is a follower, and I've always helped my bosses succeed. And I found that when I helped them, even though they may have gotten the credit for something I came up with, if I worked it in such a way where they got the credit, I wound up being blessed in the end also. And I remember this one guy. I'll tell you, I got this job, my first job in an architectural firm, Voorhees, Walker, Smith, Smith, and Smith. And it was down in New York City. So I got there, and they put me behind the plan desk. That was it. And back in those days, everything was on drawings. It was on all kinds of plans and blueprints and stuff. It was a lot of stuff. And so they put me in the plan desk. And then they got there, and another guy was in there, he says, "Where are you working?" I said, "Working the plan desk." He says, "Well, lots of luck to you, pal." Well, I said, "Okay." So he said, "Nah," he says, "that guy, you know," and he just walked away. Well, I got in there. There was a fellow, and the first thing I noticed about him was he had a German accent. That was number one. He was a German. Okay. So I got in there, introduced myself. He introduced myself. He said, "So this is how it will be. We will have a plan come. I take the first one. You take the second one. I take the next one. We alternate." All right. I said, "Fine." So it came in, and we worked for the day. And now part of this was crazy. I mean, you wouldn't even get away with this today. They had a ladder, literally, from the floor up on two stages going up. This is open ladder, right? And up on top, you walked around on this little room. There wasn't even a railing. This is an architectural firm, right? They build buildings, right? So when you get up there, you climb the ladder, and then they had all of these slots like pigeonholes. And these plans were slid into these holes, and you pull them out. So I noticed that when he was going up the ladder, he was having some difficulty. And I was what? 19, going to night school at the time. So I said, Hans, I said, would it be all right? I said, if when it comes in, even though I'm in order, when it's up high, I'll take that. Are you sure? I said, yeah. Well, this horrible guy that nobody could get along with turned out to be one of the nicest people that you could imagine. His son was into speed skating. He had a great history about him. He turned out to be a kind guy. And he said to me, "You are not like the rest of these people." And I said, "Well, yeah, that's the least I can do." I said, "Don't worry about that." I said, "It's been a pleasure working with you." He almost cried when I left, seriously. And I want to tell you that's the difference. So here's my boss. And it turns out that I'm supposed to go into this horror show, and it turns out to be a wonderful experience to me. Why? Because of my attitude and how I treat that person. So if I was working for a company and my supervisor called me in, and all the things that I said about you, about the grace that you had, about the gifting that you had, about the part that you were very special and set apart by the very owner of this huge corporation, and they said all of these things about me, and I would probably, knowing me, would have said, how much of a raise am I going to get, and when am I going to be a supervisor, right? Well, it would seem, with all of this ability, and that we have, we should be higher up, so to speak, right? Well, if I were your manager and you said to me, when am I going to get this? I would say to you, you know what? I believe everything that my boss has just spoken about you. I do. Concerning your gifting and concerning your potential. Do you believe what the owner has said about you? And if so, are you willing to apply yourself to grow in the gifts that you have? And I'll tell you this, as you grow in those gifts and graces, walking with God, I'll guarantee you that you will be blessed, you will be promoted, you will be rewarded beyond what you could imagine. Well, that's what I would say. And I think if we understand the scripture, that's what it's about. It's about proving ourselves faithful. We can have everything God gives us, but are we faithful? Do we quit when we don't like something? Oh, you know, I don't like, and we walk away from, or do we hang in there and get the job that God's called us to do done? You know, the letter didn't say that you were perfect or I was perfect, but it just said that we had gifts, abilities, and potential. And many of us are not really seeing all of that. Why? Because we haven't learned how to get close to God and let Him work that into our life. Now, people make mistakes. Take Pastor Derry, for example. Now, she's not here today, but I want to tell you that I have vetted this with her so that it's okay that I can say this, all right? Well, when she first visited the church, she shared a bit about her background, and she explained how she didn't want to, find somebody. Well, she wanted somebody, find somebody. She had been alone for 12 years, and you know, she went through all of this stuff and her friends and how her friends were kind of pushing her out there on the internet and all of this other stuff. But she really just couldn't find the right guy. Just couldn't find him, right? Now, in fact, it was so obvious to her friends that they bought her a doll called the Perfect Man. Perhaps some of you remember that doll. It's a handsome little guy dressed in a tuxedo, and he's good looking, right? And she put him up on that podium over there in front of you, and she pushed a button to pull the spring after asking him a question. No, would you mind doing the dishes, dear? And they pushed the button, and the little doll says, yes, dear. I began to hate that little doll, you know. That little doll was a nuisance. But here was the thing. The perfect man. Yes, sir. What was the implication there? Well, it was obvious. She had now found the perfect man. Now, who could that be, right? Now, let me tell you. Then she made another mistake. She got up on that very podium in front of you one day. And she said, I am a bride in training. Well, boy, I haven't let that one go at all. But I want to tell you, so these two things, and we've had a lot of fun with it, actually, you know, and that I think that little doll's stuffed in her office someplace, or maybe he experienced a late night burial with no ceremony attached to it. But anyway, that was kind of funny when you think about it. So very humbly, she declared herself a bride in training. Now, you ladies all know, gentlemen, just don't get upset with me. Remember now, I'm not claiming to be an expert, but I am very knowledgeable in this whole area of marriage education and how people think and how they reason. I once was paid a compliment by a gentleman in our congregation, and he said, you know, Pastor, you think like a woman. And I just looked at him. I had to process that just a bit. You think like a, but you know what? There's a Well, it's true. I've learned to try to get at least a little bit into the female mind. It's very confusing. Things move very fast, back and forth. Like it's quite something, and it can be a bit disturbing. But as a woman, you should know that it will take you 10 years to grow up a husband. 10 years, and that's if you got a good man. It takes that long. So all kidding aside on things like this, we all need to grow up in a lot of areas in life. But again, what shall I say? Everybody isn't perfect. And all people that are gifted, well, very few of them receive special notice. But I have a situation here talking about gifted people. It's kind of interesting. I have been blessed. This is a little aside here. I have been blessed by having some really incredible son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, but I'm talking about the son-in-laws right now. And one of them I could spot him in college when my daughter began dating him. And I thought to myself, this guy is going to be, he's going to have good success. And I felt that way financially. Well, he eventually became a vice president at Cisco Systems, and then a vice president at, Honeywell, I guess it is, right? Honeywell or, no, it's a bigger company. Anyway, he became a vice president there. And he did a presentation at this company, and his expertise is in internet security. So he goes down to this presentation and he makes it before Hewlett Packard. He makes it before the big board, the senior board, wherever they're located in Hewlett Packard. And I think Maggie was the CEO of the company. At the end of the presentation, he finds this out later. Maggie goes up to the vice president, senior vice president that's over him, his team, and she says to him, that guy there, if he ever leaves this company and decides to come back, hire him. Try not to lose him. Well, it wouldn't be long, even though he has this group down in Austin, Texas, that he gets a call from the executive, you know, the top CEO, and she gives him a new job. What's that job? He is to find new technologies for the company that will help them move ahead into the future. New companies, new technologies. So I said to him, son-in-laws, listen, I said, who are you talking to? Oh, he said, I can't tell you that. I said, what do you mean you can't tell me that? He said, no, he said, you know, when I walk into a company, he says, their stock will go up anywhere from 10 to 25%. I said, so who are you talking to? He said, that would be inside trading. So what, let me just say this. It would have been nice to know, you know, if I were a congresswoman, I guess, or congressman, you'd know. But in this particular case, isn't it good to have a person that has the kind of honesty and integrity that this one son-in-law has? And all of them are great, by the way. But I'm just saying to you, we need to be quality people. We need to grow into the things that God has given us. And character is one of the biggest parts of that. So I want to take a step back a little bit to some of the things we began with in verse 2 and verses 4 through 8. And what I said about being a manager interviewing an employee. Do you believe what God says about you? Why not? Why is it so hard to take a look at what the Lord says about you, knowing that the Word of God, the Bible is the Word of God, it's true. And it's just not a general statement. Every single person, God put you on this planet. I want you to think about how special people are to begin with, right? God creates the planet first. He creates a perfect environment a very interesting environment, a garden that we probably would will never see, or maybe we'll see it sometime in the future. I don't know. But here, this Garden of Eden. And then he takes and he puts the final crowning glory of his creation in there, mankind. And he puts him in there to enjoy. And you know the story, the man sins. He's deceived. He sins. And we have all of this corruption that comes in. And then people become a problem. And think about it. So people, what God creates in his own image and likeness, he creates them for fellowship with him. And not only for fellowship with him, but because he loves them. And he loves these people. And they become more and more corrupt. And he almost wipes them all out. But he comes back again. And he's seven are saved through the flood, eight through the flood. And then we start over again. And we go in this cycle again. Now, what I'm saying is, people are the biggest blessing that you'll ever have in your life. There'll be some of the most problematic things that ever come into your life. But I learned this, to have people that you know and love and cherish, to have friends, like I don't want to mention them, but to just say this, some of the friends that I have in this church, people would die to have friends like this, people like you, that love them, that are loved, that care about them, that are, how would I say, committed to God, committed to one another. What an incredible blessing that is. To have family that loves you. To see my girls at this particular point in time, the four girls, right? They're kind of, I don't want to say they're falling over one another, but they're working out the schedule. They want to come down and take care of their dad. And you say, well, you know, like Derry said, well, why do they want to come? I'm here. In fact, I'm on the phone. I said, look, I got Derry. Derry's good. They said, Dad, it doesn't matter that Derry's there to take care of you. You're our dad. We want to come and take care of you. We're your daughter. We want to come. I said, okay. You know, they're just, you know, so having blessings like that, watching your kids grow up, sometimes you want to pull the hair out of your head. Sometimes you wonder, where did they get that from? You can see it didn't come from their mother and it didn't come from you. What are these kids, where do they get this stuff from? You wonder about that. But ultimately, the biggest blessing you have are the people that God has put in your life. And the biggest blessing they should have is you. You are a blessing. You're a blessing to those closest to you. But you can be a blessing wherever you go. So again, I've watched these people, a lot of people who, enough, that couldn't handle the fact that all of these good things were in them. And when I looked at that, I thought about the rejection that they have received in their life. I want you to know that God sees that pain. And the course of time, they've received so much rejection, getting, you know, knocked down, ridicule, whatever it may be, for whatever reason. Maybe they had something funny about their nose or whatever it may be as a kid. But the thing is, then they begin to see themselves as incapable, unworthy, undeserving of the blessings and the gifts and the graces of God. I want you to know that you can believe that you can't do what God's called you to do, or that he doesn't love you, and that you're unworthy, but the truth is, you've believed a lie. You have believed the very lie of the devil, because you are loved. Christ never would have went to the cross if he didn't love you. He never would have came. We celebrated communion. Why do you think we celebrate that? To remember that we're a redeemed people of what Jesus did for us. But remember why he did that. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we need to turn this around. We might need some deliverance. Don't be ashamed. If you're in a situation and you feel that way, you need to know that if you feel that way, you're wrong. You're being deceived. You're being lied to. Don't be ashamed. You're just a victim. But you can't remain a victim. God wants you to be a liberator, not a victim. You need some help. We need to help you. So I believe that you can have your mind changed and you can change The interesting thing about people who sell themselves short is they often really want to help others. They really do. They want to contribute. They want to do something good. They want to have value. And so they do things to have value. And I got that. I understand that. But the truth is, you have value before you did a single thing because you loved. And the value that you do, if that's the work that God's given you, it's good because the work itself won't save you. The work itself is not going to get you into heaven. The truth of the matter is that the thing that God wants is the right heart with you, a right spirit with you. Now, I want to just close down with a few things here. First of all, we often read the Bible like it's a novel or a technical book, but it's neither. It's the Word of God. And as such, we can take it for what it says. However, when you take it for what it says, that's good because God can say exactly what he means. But there's other things in that word that you don't see. That's where the Spirit of God comes in. That's where we talk about all of these things that Paul's been speaking about, the gifting that you have. You have the Spirit of God. You have the grace. If you stay there, if you stay in that word, if you continue to look at it, if you can get into a conversation with God over something that's in there, you're reading along and you see something and you stop. Think about it. Talk to him about it. That's why I'm talking to you about people today, about you today, because as I've been going through what God wants to do with the church, I mean, he's showing me some incredible things right now. And I don't know how to express it. We have different people looking at different things. But most importantly, you know, we're a church without walls. And we can only define that at this point in time is that what happens outside this building when we're done with the service today, what happens during the week is where the church is at. And now how is that working? How is that, what's it look like? Where is it? How does it get started? How does it know it's making an impact? How do you know you're changing things? Those are the things where we're moving into and exploring further. It's all about us. Why are we here? I can remember that question when I was 18 years old, actually 19 years old, looking for my first job. And I'm down in New York City, and there's this shoeshine boy. And he's singing this little song, you know, it was kind of cool. He had a little rhythm that was going on there. I didn't need my shoes shined, but I just went over to him and I said, yeah, can I get a shine? He said, sure. So he shined my shoes, we sing the little song, and we talked. And as I'm thinking about him, I thought to myself, well, I'm ready for an interview anyway. At least my shoes are shining. And I thought to myself, why am I here? Why did God make me? Why? Now, I didn't know God personally at the time, but why do I exist? Is this all about me? Look at the world we're in now. People thinking it's all theirs. In fact, you have a whole group of people that want to take it over for themselves. And they want you to own nothing but have everything. Don't believe it. It's not going to happen that way. It's never does. It's failed. Why does it fail? Because of people. Where it's just another group of people that come around that want to get on top of everybody else and have everybody owing them, everybody bowing to them. They just want to be God. We have a God already. He's doing a very good job. And one of the things he's doing is helping us recognize these things. So again, what I want you to realize is that it's important that you see the Word of God as an opportunity to communicate with him. I find that sometimes even talking with a Christian brother and sister, something that just happened to me the other day in a conversation with one of the couples in our church, and I got off of that conversation and some things just popped into my mind. God just began to show me some things that said, you know what? This is where you have to begin. I said, okay, I thought we began there. But no, this is where it begins with. What does it begin with? It begins with you. It begins with me. It begins with each one of you. Turn to somebody next to you, and tell them, hey, it begins with you. And make sure that's the finger pointing back at you that says it begins with you, because the truth of the matter is, if it begins with all of us, then there's initiative. Then something else happens. We begin to have a synergy. It works. So then I want to just say this on 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful. And it says, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Fellowship is participation together. It is intimacy, it's communication together. And you'll find as we begin to journey through 1st and 2nd Corinthians along the way, that we're going to find God has given us some very, very special gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. And that includes our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our neighbors. We're builders together in this. Verses 10 and 12 tells us that these gifts and the grace and all that God has imparted to us when we were born again, that's when we receive them. You have them now. They have to be stirred up. You have to communicate with God. You have to get these things that you now have set in your spirit, fired up, stirred up, personalized in some ways. And then again, you need to stretch yourself to exercise your faith in the grace that you have been given and avoid the pitfalls. Be a good husband, calm. Be a good wife. Be a good worker. Be a good friend. Be a decent person. Put on Christ. And don't cause strife. Be the blessing in someone's life, not the strife in their life. That's an important thing for you to do. God wants you to be, it's our responsibility to put on Christ and not cause strife. Simple. So God has you, friends. As we leave here today and the end of this message here, and you'll have some fellowship and coffee, I want you to know that the Father has your back. He really cares about you. He loves you. And one of the things that he's done is he himself has placed you in his Son. That's what he's done. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Look at this. Now, I forgot to tell that to the team there, that one verse, but I'll read it to you. By his doing, that is the Father's doing, that Father that wrote that letter, you see, about you and how much he's invested in you, how much hope he has in you, how much potential you have. That same Father, he said, by his doing, you are in his Son, Christ Jesus. And his Son has become something to you. Wisdom from God. That's number one. Wisdom from God. And righteousness. That's right. You are righteous. You are declared righteous. You may not be perfect. You may make mistakes. And although I was teasing, you know, Pastor Derry there, I just want you to say that we all make mistakes. God didn't say you're perfect. I think sometimes he smiles at us for that. But the point is that he declared you righteous. Now we grow into that righteousness. And sanctification. Didn't he start with that? Saying that you've been set apart? Well, not only have you been set apart, but now he sets you apart and he's cleaning you up. He's changing you, if you will let him. But that's up to you. And redemption. Wow. Now, what's the redemption have to do with? Well, you've been redeemed from the power of sin, so you can do these things. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law that you could never keep. You have been purchased by God for himself and given all of the blessings that belong to a son or a daughter in the house of the king. And I want you to think about that this day and go out from here and start looking at yourself differently. Look at your children differently. Look at your wife differently. Your wife's a blessing. How does it say? He who finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor with the Lord. I'm telling you right now, to have a good relationship, my goodness, it's like heaven on earth. To have an aggravating wife, well, it's like you need to live on a rooftop. But let's not have any aggravating wives or any harsh husbands. Let us be kind to one another, love one another. Let's call upon Jesus when we feel that we're upset, we can't get a hold of something. Let him get a hold of you.
and just love one another as Christ loved you. May God bless you today and prosper you today. It has been an absolute pleasure to be with you. And with the grace of God, I will be with you next week. When I say that, I mean amongst the living next week and moving forward with you. There's a lot to do, and it's an exciting time to live in. Maybe not the best time, but one of the most exciting times that I can even imagine in the history of mankind. And you will call for such a time as this. God love you and bless you. Father, may the Spirit of living God be upon us in this last song of worship. May you just draw us near to you. May we, Father, just praise you and thank you for the goodness that you have shown to us. Thank you for the music ministry. Thank you for all of the people that are ministering to one another in our community. And Father, we are just so blessed as a people. And most of all, Lord, just thank you for you. We love you, Lord. Watch over us this week. Give us wisdom where we need wisdom, strength where we need strength. Wherever we're weak, let us immediately lean on you, that your strength will come through us with your knowledge and wisdom and the right words for the occasion that we find ourselves in. We ask you blessings in Jesus' name. Let's praise God in the name of Jesus. Amen.